news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Over 12,000 people in the United States have died from the coronavirus, and the country is nearing 400,000 confirmed cases. Quite a far cry from the president's lies on January 22nd.
Are the words about a pandemic at this point?
No, we're not at all, and we have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China, and we have it under control. It's going to be just fine.
And February 26th.
We have a total of 15 people, and they're in a process of recovering, with some already having fully recovered. We're at that very low level, and we want to keep it that way. So we're at the low level. As they get better, we take them off the list, so that we're going to be pretty soon at only 5 people, and we could be at just 1 or 2 people over the next short period of time. And again, when you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero, that's a pretty good job we've done.
That's when the federal government should have been in full preparedness, not denial mode. But Trump continues to lie about everything, including his awareness of the severity of the threat. He was asked about new revelations about a memo written by Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro back in late January, warning the administration that the coronavirus crisis could cost the U.S. trillions of dollars and put millions of Americans at risk of illness or death. At Tuesday's daily free 2 hours of prime media time for Trump, he again lied, this time saying he never read the memo and didn't even know about it until just the other day, but followed its suggestions anyway. None of that is true.
You learned about the memo today?
I read about it maybe a day ago, 2 days ago.
Do you feel like someone in among your staff or Peter Navarro himself should have told you about the memo earlier?
No, it was a recommendation. It was a feeling that he had. I think he told certain people in the staff, but it didn't matter. I didn't see it. But I did. I closed it down. I don't remember it even being discussed. We had a meeting where there were a lot of people. Most people felt they should not close it down, that we shouldn't close down to China. But I felt we had to do it. And that was at almost the exact same time as the memo.
If you had read the memo at the time, how would that have changed the steps you took or the statements?
I don't think it
would
have changed, because I did. I basically did what the memo said. And the memo was, you know, the memo was pretty good. Memo from the standpoint that he talked, I guess. I didn't see it yet.
He was saying that the U.S. would leave, warning that the U.S. could lose trillions of dollars and millions of lives.
Well, you're not going to lose millions of lives, but you'll lose plenty of money. But I couldn't have done it any better, because it was about the same time and I closed it down to China.
It's nonsense like that and lots more that we may or may not have time to get into in this report that made Joe Scarborough's head explode on MSNBC Wednesday morning.
Because the president lies so much in these press conferences, I still, for the life of me, don't understand why the networks, including our own, allow Donald Trump to lie for 2 hours to the American people. If he were giving good information, that would be one thing.
Let us fact
check
them.
But it is a lie. So if this network or CNN or Fox is going to run him lying for 2 hours a night, they need a real-time fact checker. Because in this case, this was February the 26th when Donald Trump said only 15 people have it and soon it's going to be down to zero. And of course, that's, again, almost a full month after Peter Navarro wrote his memo, a memo that Donald Trump said, oh, I believe the same thing I was doing. No, he didn't. Even a month later, he thought it was about 15 people instead of 500,000 deaths.
You know, I'm not the biggest Joe Scarborough fan, but that was epic. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has removed the acting Pentagon Inspector General, Glenn Fine, as head of the panel overseeing how the federal government's coronavirus relief package will be spent. After Trump approved $2.2 trillion in federal spending, a panel of inspectors general from across cabinet departments picked Fine as chair of the oversight panel, which was established to ensure that the bailout money would be distributed and spent as intended. Trump ousted Fine from the department on Monday, thus removing him from the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee. Then Trump designated EPA Inspector General Sean O'Donnell as the Pentagon's temporary Inspector General and head of the Accountability Committee, and nominated Jason Abend, a senior policy advisor at U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to fill Fine's Pentagon job. But that's not the only shakeup. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham, who never once held a press briefing during her 9 months on the job, is out and reportedly returning to work for Melania Trump, becoming the First Lady's chief of staff. Grisham will be replaced by Trump campaign spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany. You remember McEnany, right?
We're looking at the coronavirus and the president saying, you know, look, we're not going to take people in from China right now.
This president will always put America first. He will always protect American citizens. We will not see diseases like the coronavirus come here. We will not see terrorism come here. And isn't that refreshing when contrasting it with the awful presidency of President Obama?
The virus, no threat to the president's reelection. You going to say that?
Not in the slightest. This president has this under control, and America will see that just like with every single international incident. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that's her. Great choice. Defense Secretary Mark Esper accepted the resignation of Acting Navy Secretary Thomas Maudley on Tuesday after a Sunday recording surfaced in which Maudley mocked Navy Captain Brent Crozier. Maudley dismissed Crozier from his post commanding the USS Theodore Roosevelt after Crozier sounded the alarm about a COVID-19 outbreak on board, saying Crozier's decision to distribute his email widely enough to be leaked resulted in a loss of trust and confidence. Maudley addressed Crozier's former crew on Sunday, and they recorded and leaked him calling Crozier too naive or stupid to lead the ship. Maudley had only been in his position for a few months after Esper fired former Navy Secretary Richard Spencer in November. Well, Congress could approve $250 billion more in aid for small businesses as early as this week, as the federal government pushes to respond to overwhelming requests from companies trying to stay afloat through this crisis. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on Tuesday contacted top Democrats and Republicans to request the extra money to help small businesses get bank loans. The $2 trillion economic stimulus package already approved by lawmakers obviously won't be enough to cover all of the immediate need. Members of Congress are also discussing another bailout package that Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said could exceed another $1 trillion. Well, Wisconsin voters went to the polls on Tuesday wearing surgical masks, trying to stay 6 feet apart in long lines after the state Supreme Court overturned Governor Tony Evers' last-minute order to delay in-person balloting due to the coronavirus. The votes in the Democratic presidential primary, as well as state and local elections, won't be counted until Monday. Democrats had pushed for in-person voting to be postponed, but Republicans, backed by the state Supreme Court's conservative majority, insisted on holding the vote on schedule. One of the key races will fill a spot on the high court, and a lower turnout is widely seen as helping the conservative candidate. Trump urged his supporters to get out and vote now. And it has 2 hours of free press time on Tuesday. He inferred that the only reason Democrats attempted to get the date pushed back was because he had endorsed a candidate in the state Supreme Court race. Delusional, anyone? Well, lupus and arthritis patients are facing a shortage of the drugs chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine after Donald Trump touted them as possible treatments for coronavirus. Medical experts warn that such a claim is unproven. And quacks like Dr. Mehmet Oz also have started talking up the drugs. But on the front lines, hospital workers are becoming desperate as ERs are overwhelmed by coronavirus patients. Some nurses at Detroit's Sinai Grace Hospital staged a work stoppage and demanded hospital administrators bring in more nurses to help out. They didn't. The nurses who made the demand said they were doing so because they found it impossible to properly treat people amid a crush of patients and not enough medical equipment. Back to Trump again. Donald Trump on Tuesday accused the World Health Organization of failing to be aggressive enough in fighting the coronavirus pandemic and threatened to withhold funding. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. Trump has faced many of the same criticisms that he leveled at the WHO, including failing to recognize the threat of the pandemic and mounting an aggressive early response. The WHO did declare a public health emergency of international concern long before the Trump administration declared an emergency. Just saying.
World Health Organization, because they really are, they called it wrong. They call it wrong. They missed the call. They could have called it months earlier. They would have known. And they should have known. And they probably did know. So we'll be looking into that very carefully. And we're going to put a hold on money spent to the WHO. We're going to put a very powerful hold on it. And we're going to see. It's a great thing if it works. But when they call every shot wrong, that's no good.
And finally, as the death toll numbers continue to climb, let me remind you that each number represents a human life. And by now, many of us personally know someone who has died from this virus. And on Tuesday night, we got the dreaded news that Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter John Prine, the music legend who inspired Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, and countless others, died in Nashville from complications of the COVID-19 coronavirus. He was 73.
Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
John Prine, a two-time cancer survivor, was hospitalized in March after testing positive for the virus and was put on a ventilator. Prine got his start in music singing at open mic nights while working as a mailman in Illinois. In 1970, film critic Roger Ebert caught one of his performances and gave him a rave review in the Chicago Sun-Times. Prine credited Ebert with getting his music career going, and he went on to release a dozen albums over five decades.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka.
And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler, remembering the life and musical treasures left behind by John Prine.
Girl, on the tilt the world, 'cause this old man is going to town.